Hey everybody, Shane Presley here at Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Head over there this Friday, they have all new records coming in from Weezer and Need to Breathe and Andrew Bird and all kinds of other stuff. You can find all the releases on the website over at musicrecordshop.com. On Saturdays, they do a lot of live in-store performances. I believe the next one is April 9th. The By Gods from Nashville will be coming in, so check that out. And then also mark your calendar, April 16th is Record Store Day. Come out and get all kinds of great new vinyl and exclusive stuff. They also have a great selection of tapes and CDs, all kinds of local music over there. So please go down, check out Music Record Shop. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello, this is Nathan Orton, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 197. Hanging out in Denny's with Nathan Orton.
What's going on?
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, so we were talking just a bit off mic here, but I believe this is our first time getting to sit down and hang out. I've been, aware of you through the comedy scene for a while. You've been definitely making a name for yourself in town. I don't know. I go to a lot of shows. It's hard to make them all, but I would definitely be trying to make one soon.
Cool.
Hopefully, we've got a couple of things coming up, but I wanted to get to talk to you, get to sit down and hang out, get to know you a little better, see what you're all about, and
appreciate it, man.
So thanks for doing the show.
I am flattered, honored, and a little aroused.
Oh yeah, thanks, well, man. Hey, that'll happen, man. Denny's will do it to you.
Yeah, get those omelets. That's what I'm having.
Those moons over my hammy.
Yeah,
does it to me every time. and also, let me start by saying, my allergies have been trying to kill me all week, so if I start coughing and sneezing, don't be alarmed.
I'm just going to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do it on my fucking eggs.
Right, yeah.
Hey, that's killing me. Is that you have a cat or a dog? Or
I have a dog, yeah.
He has a hair in the mic.
You have one hair. There we go.
It's probably going to distort the sound. There you go. Now they can hear us.
All better, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, now let's start the show.
Cool, man.
but yeah, man, so... I guess let's start at the beginning, man. Where, what gets you wanting to get into comedy?
Okay, so I've always been, like, the class clown. Like, when I was younger, it was more getting picked on and made fun of. And I think that, like shapes you into learning how to come back,
right.
You know, and get a little witty yourself. So maybe that set the stage. The first big laugh I ever had at a comedian, it was living at home. I was a kid. But it was Dave Chappelle, Killing Them Softly.
Sure.
You know that bit where he's talking about Sesame Street?
Yeah.
When he's talking about, you know, he's like, Oscar, you're a grouch.
Yeah.
And then he does Oscar, bitch, I live in a fucking trash can.
Yeah.
That made me laugh so hard because the impression was good, the timing was great, and then the point he made. Like, yeah, he's going to be a grouch. He lives
right.
in a trash can. Like, that,
sure.
to me, it clicked. Like, holy shit. Like, comedy's just making good points while being goofy.
Yeah.
And that just got me really interested. And then probably, 10 or more years later, I got hip surgery. And I started writing while I couldn't walk. And then once I was on crutches, I got up at a mic and bombed for a while until I learned how to do it.
I hear from a lot of these guys, you know, I listen to several other podcasts with other comedians talking to a third comedian, and like they tell all kinds of stories, and they all t-
talk about their first mic and stuff, but like almost all of them say they bombed the first time.
Yeah.
You know, nobody hardly ever goes up and just crushes. But when you do that, though, is that like that hook you immediately? I mean, like, are you just, you listen, or you get up there, and even though you bombed, like, are you still like craving to go up again? Like,
yeah, I think like for some people never get up again after they bomb. I think it just depends. A, do you really want to do it? And B, what type of person are you?
Right.
Like, does that make you want to push yourself to get better? Or can, maybe people with other passions, like someone who likes their day job, can say, fuck it, I don't gotta do it. I don't like my day. I've never liked a day job. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna stick with this.
Yeah.
And luckily, I, you know, I figured it out a little bit, you know, so far. I've come a long way, but I have way, way longer to go.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly me. I'm in the same boat with, you know, I have my day job as well, and I don't like it. It pays the bills, but there's much more I'd rather do, and that's a lot of the motivation for this podcast, man, to just get out there and do something creatively and something I'm passionate about, and, you know, if it doesn't go anywhere, at least I tried, but I'm having a great time doing it, you know, so... same thing. I've been trying to put in as many hours as I can trying to build this thing just to see where it takes me in. So where was your first mic then?
Westport.
Yeah. Do you recall like a first joke or a premise that you went with?
Yes. My first joke, I'll just okay, so I'm a big Anthony Jeselnik fan.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, he's a brilliant joke craftsman.
Right.
Like, he's insane. Well, when I started comedy, I just basically told jokes pretending I was him, and that's how I wrote them, and then I told him in his cadence, and, like, I had no clue. I just looked like an idiot ripping him off. But, yeah, like, my first joke, I was proud of it, and I still busted out at an open mic, but the cadence is more me now. But it's like, yeah, I went on my first float trip, caught my girlfriend cheating on me. And I was crushed. Like, I really loved her. But, you know, to this day, I still think we would have worked things out, you know, if she hadn't drowned. So, if she hadn't drowned. And I butchered it there with the timing. But if she hadn't drowned, that's the big misdirection.
Sure.
And you could see that being, like, a Jeselnik-influenced
joke. Yeah, definitely.
But now that crushed, like, my first mic.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm good. Nope. Then I learned there was a lot to work on after that.
All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it too, you know, like people, I mean, with anything, music or whatever, you want to emulate people that you admire and stuff until you learn your own, you know, find your own voice in it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, Jeselnik's a good place to start. They're like, he's kind of disappeared lately. But he was hot for a good while with all the roasts and things like that. He's still, he had that show for a bit, Jeselnik Report or whatever they called it.
I think I knew it until you said that, and now it made me forget
something or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't very good. I mean, there was some funny things, but I don't know that he's a great host of a show or doing panel and stuff.
But I'm a fan, and I think I see his brilliance in his writing, and the fact that he's created a character which you don't see that much. You got Mitch Hedberg, that's not necessarily a character, but like the Stephen Wright. Basically, what I'm saying is like those one-liners where you're talking comics up there for an hour, and you didn't learn anything about their life. Like, that's impressive to me.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to build to be a comic. I mean, my favorites don't do that though. My favorites, they all don't give a fuck, and they all talk about themselves.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Bill Hicks, Louis C.K., Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah.
Those are my top five. They all talk about their lives. They all say whatever they want to say. And it's all coming from the truth. And that's what inspires me. But like someone like Jeselnik that can craft a joke like that, like if you can combine the skill of that type of joke writing with like coming from your heart and getting people to like you and your point of view and making good points, I think that's where you're unstoppable.
Right.
So that's kind of like the idea, is just to learn that, all that, you know. So.
Sure, yeah. I think it's all, you know, you kind of want to have as many different tools in your, you know, or whatever. You want to be able to do a lot of stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, I, I met Jeselnik at Westport. Twice I saw him over there.
Really?
And he, one I was at, it was a Saturday night, midnight show after, on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
And everybody was just hammered drunk in there, and he just tore people shreds with some of the stuff. Like, you know, somebody was like on answer their phone in the middle of the show, and somebody puked in the beer bucket. It was just like, you know, it was bad. But
probably 2 years ago,
something like
maybe
that.
Maybe three.
Yeah, it's a couple. Yeah, probably three. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I forget. I go, like I said, I go to a lot of shows. Yeah. And they all start to
blend in.
Yeah, but man. But afterwards, like, you know, you think he's just going to be some asshole because that's what he's on stage. Yeah. But that, you're right, it is a character. Because you know, he steps off, he's smiling, he's, you know, he's just a super nice guy.
Yeah, that's right here.
And,
yeah.
And it was just really, really great. But yeah, there's just so many people assume that he really is that guy or whatever it is. And
yeah, he's very, I can tell he's very, very intelligent, especially when it comes to, like, the English language, and just you can tell he's the kind of guy that reads shit with big words.
Sure.
You know, and he just that's how I think he became a good comic, probably reading and being like, I think he's a big fan of Shakespeare. He says that in a joke.
Yeah, well, so it just makes sense. That was the name of his first album, was Shakespeare.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he so you like you said Bill Burr. He's coming to town here shortly, playing the Fox.
Fucking dude.
Yeah.
I don't have a TV. Well, I have computers, so that's a terrible excuse. But yeah, I'm glad you just said that. After this, I'm gonna remind you to remind me.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna write that down. I'm getting tickets ASAP.
I met Bill also at the at the pageant. He did a set and had to meet him out in the Sweet 100 after the words and stuff.
Sweet.
And so that was pretty cool. I've been able to meet a lot of these guys, like, through over the years, just hanging out at these comedy clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorites is Henry Phillips. You ever listen much of his stuff?
I feel like I've heard the name.
Yeah. He's so funny, and he's getting another kind of this character, and, like, he's, like, real kind of dry and with his stuff, and he does some songs too, which I think are fun. Lately, like, I know some of the stuff he hasn't been doing quite as much with the guitar.
Yeah.
But why I brought that up though is, like, I noticed you play a little guitar.
Yeah.
Saw a video on YouTube of you playing some guitar a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was after my surgery. My buddy was in college. He was in a filmography class, and he had to do, like, a video on people's outlets, creative outlets. And so he comes over, and I'm like, I was all, like, oxycodone, hadn't played in a while, all depressed. So I'm not happy with, like, my rips or riffs or licks in that video. But it's cool. You know, I love... if you've seen it, you can tell I love, like, the blues.
Sure.
Yeah, my goal is to, when I play the guitar, I want to sound like a 90-year-old black man.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite music. It's got the soul in it. Kills me.
My friend Jason, he was telling me you play guitar, too, that you were really good.
Oh, right on.
So, he was also brought it up. That's why I went and I ended up YouTube and I found that video. So, just having to stumble upon that, but,
well, yeah. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah.
Saying I'm good.
Yeah.
Who's Jason?
From Brick Royal. Zykan.
Oh, my God. Jason Zykan. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
It's my brother. Very good. We're friends, but he's very good friends with my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Small world, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
With
his band and stuff.
Yes.
But I've known him for years through the scene.
Right on, man.
So, but yeah, he, I guess he saw you were coming on and sent me a message saying that you play guitar too. So
right on.
But yeah, man, I agree with the blues, man. That's my
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
That's where I'm at with my taste. I go hang out a lot at Beale and stuff. All the blues bars in town.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I'm a lot of that. Like Stevie Ray Vaughan and stuff. Like, this guy, if you like Stevie, you should go check out. Tony Campanella
okay.
in town. He's got that kind of Texas blues
right on.
Guitar style, and he's a hell of a picker.
Another Texas blues, another one of my top favorites is Freddie King.
Yeah.
Freddie with an I.E. King.
Yeah.
One of the Kings, Albert B.B. Freddie. They're not related, but it's just coincidentally blues,
right.
big black blues. And
they did a show not too long ago at B.O. It was like called the Three Kings or something like that, and it was all like a tribute to all those three guys.
That's incredible. Yeah. They all have their own style. Like Freddie was like super aggressive and like really, he did, and B.B. King, he had his own little box where it's like, it was a whole step up from the minor pentatonic where he hit them sweet notes, like the major scale comes into play and you can kind of bounce back and forth, and Albert King had his own box, which was that first step in the minor scale, the pentatonic, where he bended and then landed on that root note. I don't know, I sound like a nerd, but yeah, I'm crazy. I'm like obsessed with the guitar.
Yeah.
The guitar comedy, and not to sound like a douche, but going to the gym. Like those I'm obsessed with those three things.
So
that's all I need.
What would you
pussy. That sounds bigger douche. Okay. I'm the biggest douche that's been on your podcast. You just work out, pussy, play the the pussy thing, that's when I can, like,
right.
Yeah. Find a girl with low standards, tell her a bad joke. Alright, let's move on. Alright, cool.
But I was gonna ask, like, would you ever bring the guitar into the act? Or
everyone's always mentioned that. Like,
yeah.
Because I can't just, like, picture, like, playing the blues, like, like the way I play, and then be like, dick joke, you know? I don't see how it would parlay.
Yeah.
Like, my brand of humor and my style of guitar
sure.
are so, like, if the guitar's, like, this passionate, like, really trying to pour it out in the comedy, I'm just a goofy, sarcastic asshole.
I think there's ways to do it, though.
I think I haven't figured it out, though. I'll admit it.
But there was a guy, Stern, I'm a big Stern fan, and there was a song they would play occasionally on, and I forget the guy's name now, like Biker Joe something. And I just happened to, like, find him because, like, I listened to the song enough, and I was laughing so hard, and I Googled, like, the lyrics or whatever, and I ended up kicking up, and... But he does, like, some song about something about dingleberries and stuff or whatever, but it's, like, to a bluesy kind of thing. And it's, like, so, I mean, you can really put anything in there, like, enough goofy lyrics, but, you know, and throw some dick jokes in there or whatever you want to do with it. But, I mean, I think that's kind of what I was talking about. Henry was, like, he's, like, a parody of, like, a folk artist like that. Like, he does a lot of these... you know, like Dylan or whatever, like kind of that kind of vibe, like just to him and an acoustic, and he's singing these songs, but then he starts singing about all kinds of weird stuff in his lyrics and things. So it's just I don't know, it makes me laugh, but I know there's like people that are, some people are like purist about it, you know, like they think that this is stand up, it has to be stand up or whatever, and they don't want guitar, and then there's some people that do that, and some people do only guitar stuff or piano or whatever it is.
And now that you've brought it up, I guess if I had to choose, I'm one of those people, I'm always in the middle on everything. Like, if anything, I'm a libertarian. Like, I like an extreme conservative and an extreme liberal person both annoy me the same. So, like, there was an analogy to say that to say this. Like, I can't say I hate a comedian that plays the guitar, but if I had to choose, like, I definitely, like, I named my favorites, none of them play guitar. So I probably would be a purist.
Yeah.
And maybe that has something to do with me not trying either. Like, I've done an open mic where I literally did, it was a mixed mic, so I did, like, a new bit, and then I asked the girl if I could play her guitar, and then I did a John Mayer song.
Yeah.
Like, there's those two things. Like, I'm sitting there talking about the one time I did Ecstasy, and then I'm doing, like a love song.
Right.
So, like, there's no correlation.
Right.
Yeah, and I was nervous, and I can't sing that good. But, hey.
Yeah. You,
get over that fear, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Stage fright.
So would you ever, not into the comedy, but would you play guitar out, like,
yeah,
more? I mean, is that something you want to do?
Yeah, like, comedy is what I want to do, like, really make it doing. Like drive, that's my drive. But like I'm real passionate about music, and I actually recently jammed with this girl, and she was impressed with me because I just played melodies over whatever without ever like knowing them or the songs. I just figured it out as we went. And she saw something in me, so now she's like going to have me. She wants me to play guitar for her while she auditions at Extremist Institute by Nelly. And she was having me to like be in a production with her and playing the guitar, you know, make a little money. Like,
yeah, man.
So, yeah. So,
yeah, even if you did studio work or any of that stuff, I mean, there's a lot of options with it, even if you're, you know, not comfortable being out and on the stage or whatever stuff. I mean, there's a.
And that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could just do comedy and, like, play the guitar and make that a living.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, sure, man.
Yeah, as long as I'm not sitting in my fucking prison cell cubicle.
Yeah.
That old analogy with work as prison, but...
Right.
Yeah, dude, I hate it.
Yeah.
You know? It's bad for you. We weren't supposed to be sitting for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be out, like, chasing deer and shit.
Well, yeah.
Killing them.
It's not
human.
Well, that's, like Mike Judge, man, and like, you know, like he had to do a lot of that, you know, sitting in the cube, or like you should write office space, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
yeah, brilliant.
You got to think of like how, like, well, there's a lot of people that did, he had to do these jobs so you can relate to enough where you can relate that message out. And, you look at like the movie Waiting or something like that, you know, enough people have worked in those shitty restaurant jobs where you can be able to write a script like that to work around stuff. So,
and like comics have jokes about calling customer service and making fun of the stupid customer service representative. Well, I gotta do jokes about the dumb fucking customers that call.
Yeah,
customers always right. Not a chance.
Right.
Yeah. Suck a dick. Like, seriously. I've never touched on that, but like I sit there and try to think of something. I've messed around with it, but I don't have anything good I'm proud of that's about my job yet, which is weird. Probably shows where I'm at in my writing.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck customers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I my job, I'm lucky enough to, I don't have to work too much with people.
Yeah.
For many years I do custodial work. I've talked about it on here, but I'll go to my area and put my headphones on and, you know, kind of be lost in my own thing and get my work done. And so, yeah, it was pretty nice, but that was, I can't really do, I couldn't do answering phones and stuff like that.
Dude, I had anxiety. Like, I've kind of got a few steps up. Like, now I'm in another group that's, you know, the top of the customer service group. More emails. Dude, I used to get anxiety going to work, man.
Yeah.
Every time the phone rings. Like, that's not healthy.
Right.
Like, my job is to answer the phone, and then when it rang, like, my chest would hurt. Like, there's no way that I was doing what I should, or that I am doing what I should be, but you gotta pay your rent.
Sure, man.
And you still gotta have two fucking roommates to afford to live there, and then the car payment.
Right.
Ugh. But who can complain when we can eat?
Yeah, so, sure.
Fucked up world. I don't know, getting deep for no reason.
I wanted to ask you about you recently went to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that. Like, with Bob Levy?
Bob Levy, yeah. So, it was Mick Foley, the wrestler, and Bob Levy. When I joined Twitter, a radio personality who had who had interviewed my brother at one point, which you haven't brought that up yet, which that's a first for anyone who's ever interviewed me, but I'm sure you know.
I learned that.
Yeah, you learned.
I learned eventually. after, I don't know, but like, I wasn't going to bring it up. I'm here to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like
that's cool.
I don't, you know, I was like, forget how somebody told me about that, but like, and I was like, oh man, no idea.
Yeah,
like, you know,
No, but yeah, but yeah, no, I appreciate that. But at the same time, I'm cool with it. Like, we have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Like, just went over there for Easter, which we could, I don't know, we can talk about Easter if you want. But he recognized me through knowing who my brother was. So he was putting on this show with Mick Foley and Bob Levy. Well, I sent him a video. He's like, all right, you're funny. He's like, I wouldn't have had you out here if you didn't impress me. Trust me. So that made me feel good. So they had me go out. So I did the show with Bob Levy and McFoley. That went well. The guy who ran, the manager of the showroom, saw my set, was impressed, and let me on the dirty at 12:30, which is what I'm really proud of, because that had nothing to do with anything other than impressing the fucking casino owner, basically.
Right.
So that was probably my proudest set of my life, was 10 minutes in front of a packed group of 200 people, probably, crammed in this bar at South Point Casino in Las Vegas, and I'm up there like Brian Scalaro, Rich Voss, who by both of them are monsters. They destroyed it, by the way. But I'm up there, up with these headliners, just like I deserve to be there. And it was just I didn't, but I got the opportunity, and I had a good set, and it was my best moment in comedy. Easily.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, dude, it was fucking phenomenal. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, that's exciting, man.
Yeah, dude, it was great.
I recognize when you, with Bob Levy's name, I'm a big Stern fan. He used to be on there a lot years ago.
Oh, he's a great guy, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, I know him and Artie Lang are our buddies, or we're,
they are, yeah.
I'm assuming they're still friends and stuff, but yeah, I was a huge Artie fan, and I miss hearing him on the show every day, but I know he's still doing good things. I saw that and I was like, oh, that's cool. I was happy for you, man.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Very exciting.
Yeah, sitting in Bob Levy's hotel room while he chain smokes and blows it in my face, going over my set. I'm like, here, add this joke. I'm like, all right, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, he was telling me all the comics who he's like helped out, and I was like, holy shit, like, what an opportunity. But yeah, we're still in touch.
Sure.
So like, I'll share his plug of stuff, you know, vice versa. He's cool, man.
Yeah, man.
Good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
And Mick Foley, by the way, probably like the most genuinely nice person in the world.
Yeah, I would love to meet him. Actually, yeah. I think that would be, I don't know, that guy, I'm sure he's got, I'm one of those guys that got stories for days, man, like over all the stuff that he's been through and but it is. I've never been able to see him do his stand up stuff now. But is it a lot of storytelling, or has he actually got some pretty decent jokes too?
It's storytelling, and it's storytelling, but it's like he's so smooth with the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Like he did a radio show and a TV interview, and he's got he can drop those jokes out of nowhere. He's McFoley's funny. And then, you know, people love it because they know they can relate to him because they were fans from his previous work, you know. Stuff I can't imagine how he put his body through that. But, so much respect for him for what he, you know. He actually body slammed my brother on a whole bunch of thumbtacks, which that was traumatizing. Yeah. I was like 12.
Right.
I don't know. I'm like, what? Or no, I had to be like 14. But that was crazy, man.
Sure.
Holy shit. Just the things that they put their body through is crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely not fake.
Yeah.
Choreographed. Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I can't think. Out there, there's a Vegas radio show, Big D, and then iHeart Radio comedy guy, Phil Iazetta. Like, can't thank them enough for that opportunity. So yeah, it was great, and I'm going to go back.
For sure.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I had the opportunity. I mean, obviously, it's not at that scale, but for me, like, there's times I'm doing this show, man, and, like, I kind of get down on myself, and I'm like, why am I still doing this?
Yeah.
Just, you know, natural thoughts and stuff, like, I kind of get bummed out, and then, like, I got an opportunity a while ago to be on The Point here in St. Louis.
Oh, cool.
105.7, and get to hang out with Cornbread on the local show, And just that, like, that moment, like, having somebody that, you know, recognized something in me and wanted to help out and help me plug my show and all the stuff and just, like, and all the nice things he said, it's just, like, in that moment, like, it was just, like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I'm, you know, I'm top of the world kind of thing. And it's, like, and then, like, when I go back and it's, like, then I'm chasing that high again of, like, you know, I want to get back there and that. And it's, like, is that something for you? Like, I mean, like, that Vegas moment, like, that's what's pushing you to get back there to that, or
yeah, I will say this. Growing up, I always had trouble with confidence. Like, I don't know if that's normal, but, like, I'm just a late bloomer. And, all that anxiety, depression shit that everyone deals with. But, like, yeah, I'd say that the Dirty Show at Vegas, killing it on the same stage as a whole bunch of headliners that I look up to, made me realize, okay, I'm not wasting my time.
Right.
I'm gonna keep doing this, and then it just made me work harder because it's like there's a future, and I got all those haters because my brother's family are gonna just assume that I just got lucky and networked through him. So it makes I have to work double hard to prove all the douchebags wrong. You know, people who don't have goals and dreams who just hate on other people.
Right.
I'm sure you know we all know them.
Sure. So how long we kind of you started on your history into it, your background, but
yeah.
How long have you been at it now?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, that's huge, man. If in 3 years you're getting some of those opportunities already, and you're proving yourself, you know.
Yeah, a year and a half in, I won the Funny Bone competition.
Yeah,
I won that thing. I don't think anyone's ever won it that new to comedy.
Right.
So I was really proud of that.
Yeah.
But then after that, I was like, what do I do now? Like,
because
I feel like zero opportunities, and I wasn't getting better. And then like at that 3 year mark, it kind of like things started clicking, and that's when I went to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I think it just happens in stages. You got to go through like bombing and hating yourself and thinking that you suck, and then you break through that and you're a little better than you were before. You're better than you were the last time that you thought you were getting it, and then it repeats.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's a roller coaster, but that makes it exciting.
Sure.
A roller coaster wouldn't be exciting if it was just one fucking speed.
Right.
You know, just a flat horizontal line and you went in a circle.
Are you looking?
It's exciting when people die on them.
Are you looking to get out on the road more this year? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to New York May 18th, and I'm just going up there 4 or 5 days. That's 4 nights. I'm looking to hit as many mics as possible, learn maybe 1% of the city, just in case I do. That's like I have an idea of moving, and that's one of the spots, and then I got to go to the Comedy Cellar, and I just pray to God, like, Louis C.K. drops through, or, you know, I got to... Phil Hanley, I opened for him when he headlined at Valley Park. Rest in peace, Valley Park, man, that sucks. But yeah, he was really funny, and we became friends, and he works there. So like just seeing him, or like Drew Michaels, I'm a fan of. He's up and coming. He's great.
I met him a couple years back. Drew and like Mike Leibowitz and James Fitz.
Okay.
They came in from Chicago, a couple guys, and they did a set at Firebird, and it was just like, it was fun to get to see a lot of these, all of them were fantastic, but to see these guys kind of on their way up, and now they're doing much. I think some TV spots and stuff like that are coming in.
They deserve it. Yeah. No, it's crazy, man. Comedy is its big world, and very intricate.
Yeah.
It's people you've never heard of that are probably killing it.
Sure.
And it's like, it just makes you want to work harder, which is great.
You ever listen to Steve Byrne?
Steve Byrne. I know who that is.
Yeah.
But like, not that you put me on the spot, but I know who is way more than I'm recalling right now.
Sure.
So I can't think of...
He's got a couple of Netflix specials, and Sullivan and Sons comedy.
Asian?
Yeah, he's half Asian. He's, that's the joke, is he his father was Caucasian, his mother was Asian, so he's Caucasian.
Okay.
So,
So I saw him at Westport before, when I was still setting foot in there, and he was funny. He wasn't afraid to kind of make fun of the audience and be a little off color, if you're not a straight white dude, you can get away with being on PC. So, not to act like it's hard to be a straight white guy. Like, oh, we have it so hard. No, but yeah, being half Asian, he got away with some stuff, and it was fun. He was good.
Yeah. But he, a while back, like, I don't know, maybe like 2008 or something, they came out, but there was like a Netflix special or whatever it was. Maybe it was just YouTube at the time or something. Whatever they aired it on, but now it's on Netflix, but it's like this. But he, there was like, somebody set the record previously, I guess, or whatever, but he ended up like breaking the record and doing like, I think it was 13 mics in one night.
Who?
Steve Byrne. Yeah. In New York City. And
Holy
they had it like, he had it like timed out, like, he knew that
if I get on the cab here and I can, you know, catch this mic and stuff anyway. So he had like all mapped out for the night. He had his ride ready to roll.
It
was a ton of opportunity.
And if you record every set, like, I can't imagine what he, you could take one, like, 5 minute bit and have like an 8 minute bit by the end of that. But like the original 5 minutes is four. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you could tighten it and tag it over and over. Like that's incredible.
Right.
That's inspiring. Yeah. New York. Well,
yeah.
Well, what the fuck though? He had to have like called ahead and he's Steve Burns, so
yeah.
Of course he's dropping in and getting on.
Like, I think
he wasn't waiting on the list.
Right.
And shit,
yeah. They were like they had it figured. I mean,
almost
like,
impossible.
They were,
yeah.
They had, you know, they knew they were going to film a special, whatever. They, you know, all that stuff I think was into play. So
yeah.
It helped worked out, but yeah, the fact that he was able to even pull it off—I mean, like,
that's brilliant. Yeah, that's cool.
And it's funny, kind of watching that because like some of them obviously don't hit, you know, and like some do. Some, you know, some rooms are better than others. You know, people are. It depends on who you're following and everything else.
Oh
and
yeah.
So, like, but it's you know, sometimes somewhere like I think like the Cellar or whatever. Like he actually did comedy clubs, and then he also did like restaurant rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of it was interesting to. To see all the various things, but he, you know, this is before he was really, you know, well known. I mean, he, you know, this was again,
yeah,
8 years ago or something
yeah.
like that. So he was kind of on his way up, but it was funny to, it was cool to see the guy
ambitious
doing the work.
Dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's a lot goes into it. And I remember, and I'll say this, like when I was mentioned playing the guitar for that production, I met this girl at a jam that I was invited to after doing comedy at a. It was an R&B show. So picture a whole bunch of people showing up for an R&B show. And I'm going up first to a cold audience telling jokes. So you have a real show's the big game. An open mic's practice. That R&B show, cold audience, that's like suicide sprints.
Yeah.
Like that's like the stuff that makes you puke in practice.
Right.
So like that's like an analogy for like there's so many different ways to get better, and one of them is just bombing in front of people who don't want you there.
Right.
Like, why isn't someone singing?
Yeah.
There's a jazz sax in that corner. Why is this white dude fucking talking to me? Like,
right.
Yeah, no, but that's... You learn to not... Like, it. My skin's so much proverbially thicker than before. Oh, my God. I used to have so much... self-esteem issues, and now it's like fuck off. Like you learn to just not give a shit what people think. It's great. Like butterflies go away.
Right.
Comedy's therapeutic. It strengthens your psyche. It builds character.
Sure.
I sound like such a douche again. God damn it. It's okay. I'm not saying pussy and gym, so that's cool.
Well,
or making fun of Matt.
We got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Hey man, so do you want to just do stand up? I mean, or would you like to? I mean, I think a lot of these guys. We mentioned Hedberg earlier, and he's kind of one of those guys. He had that joke about, you know, you're a cook, you're a great cook, or you know, chef, or whatever, but can you farm?
Yeah,
you know, and it's kind of that whole thing. Like, people get into comedy, and you become the stand up, but then like. There's so many other avenues to take it, you know. There's writing, there's improv, there's, you know, all these different things. So, I mean, is that something you thought about wanting to, you know, maybe at all? Or?
Yeah. My lease is up in August, and I plan on being here another year, and then hopefully taking the journey to a place where comedy's hotter, and by then hopefully I'm way better, which I'll put the work in. But I feel like if you're at a place where if you kill it and someone sees you, like in Vegas, like I have like two people on Facebook, like who are asking me for my headshot. I was like, I don't have a headshot.
Right.
Fucking 3 years in, you know, in St. Louis. So it's like, it's crazy. But yeah, if you're somewhere where it matters, like if I kill it and then someone's like, hey, you could be this goofy next door neighbor on this. Yeah, I'm not going to turn that down. Fuck.
That is
shit.
I mean, you know, I think there is a cool thing going on here in St. Louis, but you're right.
I'm not shitting on.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, but you know, I follow Adam Ray on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite comics. But he goes to a lot of these mics in L.A., like whatever the Comedy Store or whatever.
Yeah,
And, like, he posts a picture of the open mic night set list, and there'd be, like, you know, Adam Ray, Louis C.K., Chris Rock, Dane Cook. You know, it's like, it goes down the list of all these, like, heavy hitters, and it's like, this is unreal. Like, how all these guys are in one room together. Like, yeah. This is, but, you know, and it's that thing. Like, you just being in that position to where you can get up in front of a crowd to do 4 minutes, and then all of a sudden Chris Rock drops in or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like that stuff doesn't just always happen here. You know, you have to kind of be where it's at, and like so I don't know, there is some of that too. Like it is kind of a bummer, like when I've been around this scene enough. Like I've watched you know Tommy Jonigan come up and move on, and Nikki Glaser, and you know, we've had a lot of people, Greg Warren, another one, you know, like,
yeah.
We got a lot of these guys that come up and are in town, and then they move on, and then they really get to kind of blossom.
It's cool to see.
But yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was, speaking of Tommy, like, I was watching him on, you know, Last Comic Standing and stuff, and like, and then like he would come home and work out material at the club before going back out there to record the show and stuff like that.
That's,
and like,
that's cool.
So it was a lot of fun to be involved in that whole process with him, you know, from a fan and friend perspective and stuff. But
yeah,
yeah, man, it's pretty wild what happened to him. I mean, I think he's last I heard, he had some kind of like CBS development deal going on or whatever.
It's supposed
to be like record a pilot and stuff. I don't know.
I know he's got, I've certainly seen his. I mean, he's got CDs. I've seen his half hour. I think he's got a few, several Comedy Central half hours. I've seen at least one recently.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that just writes all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's just...
work hard.
Yeah, man. And it's you know, it's paying off for him.
Yeah.
But I think that's... people got to work, you know? But do you have a... Do you do a lot of, like, notebooks, or how do you...
Yeah, I'll show you.
Yeah.
This is a 5-star college ruled 200-page notebook.
Right.
If you look at that, I started this January 1st.
Yeah.
So the goal is, and I'm on pace, is to finish it in 100 days.
Right.
And I got like 20 pages left. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's little things like that help you stay on track. If you make a goal, like small goals that lead to big goals. Like if I want to move to the big city and really do this, I gotta fill up 10 notebooks before then. Those are the small goals. And if I give up and get 9 instead of 10, I didn't earn it, you know? And if that's how you look at it, I think pushing yourself is what it's all about.
Yeah, man.
Just like sports, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Working hard. You gotta work harder than the other guy.
Yeah. I brought it up the other night, but so I got to hang out with Devin Allman a while back for the show, and he's become a buddy over the years. I've been following him for a long time, but was able to finally get him on the show, and we recorded up in Columbia, and just you know, a real treat, you know, like being a big fan, and he was giving me some advice. I drove him from the club to his hotel at the end of the night, and we're sitting and talking, and he gave me some advice about, he was telling me that about when he went on, when he was looking to go on the road, he, for a solo artist, he called up, I forget her name, but it's Warren Haynes' wife. And,
oh, wow.
And she's a manager, and I guess she manages Warren and stuff. And
yeah.
So he called her up and asked, like, if she had any advice for a guy looking to hit the road, you know, to make it. And she's just like, just don't stop. Like, you know, keep going, because as soon as you slow down, that person who's hungry for it's going to pass you up. So
yeah.
And that, I really applied that to what I'm doing. Like, I know I've been doing, like, the 3 episodes a week since, like, last June. I mean, Devin told me that since after that, but I mean, that kind of drove that message home, like, man, I gotta keep this pace up, because otherwise somebody else is gonna pass me up.
I'm a big fan of Warren Haynes too. Him and Derek Trucks, they're the two guitars now for, well, there's, I'm sure there's more, but the current Allman brothers,
yeah,
those guys can rip, speaking of blues.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's Devin's dad is Greg, so
yeah,
yeah, so that's and he looked
it's crazy how much he looks just like Dwayne when he plays guitar and stuff. Because he wears that brass ring like his uncle and stuff, and like it's just. So yeah, it's pretty wild whenever I get to sit there and talk to him. I mean, and he's, you know, again, another guy like like yourself. I'm familiar, you know, who your family is, but
yeah,
you know, Devin's earned it on his own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm dying again.
No, I hear you.
Oh man, jeez, sorry about that.
No, you're good. You're good.
But yeah, you know, there might have been some doors open because of his name, but he had to earn it, you know, otherwise.
Yeah. If my skinny ass was body slamming people for some reason, it was because of my family. But it's like my brother didn't write my jokes, and I know that. It's more than painfully obvious that what we do isn't related enough.
Right.
And I'm going to have to be funny on my own, so I'm not really worried about that. But I know that people still like to talk shit. Like on Twitter, this guy tweeted, like, to my brother, your little brother isn't funny. And then I looked, and he's from Nigeria. I was like, I don't think he's been to an open mic. You know what I mean? People just like to talk shit. And it's fine. Have fun. Well, I won't go there. I was about to say something about getting eaten by a lion, but I guess that's not... Well, worse. But, yeah, the lion thing was... Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Something about a lion.
Twitter is good for that, and YouTube comments, and everything. Yeah. People like to hide behind their keyboard and talk a lot of shit. But.
Every time, dude, I'm at work, I'll listen to music on YouTube. Like, I'll listen to, like, John Mayer or something, because he's a great guitarist. And you scroll down, it's like, fag. Yeah. It's like, really? It doesn't even make sense.
Right.
Like, why? Because he bangs hot women? But he's, okay. Yeah. He plays pop music. Okay, yeah, but do you see that guitar solo? Like, people just like to shit on things because they're not... People aren't happy, so they gotta take it out anonymously on the internet. And it's pathetic, and it makes me laugh. You just got to try not to respond to them, because then you're kind of doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it is something to even get on that level to where people even give a shit, you know, to say something.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's true, too.
Man, jeez.
You're good.
That Stern, mentioned Stern earlier, there's that great line, and I love it, In Private Parts, where he's talking about he's talking to Paul Giamatti's character, and they're talking about the average Stern listener listens for 3 hours a day, or the average Stern fan listens, and he's like, "Well, what about the people that they hate him?" He's like, "The average Stern hater listens for 4 hours a day," and he's like, "The answer is they both say we want to hear what he's going to say next."
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it. You know,
I think that's a good... Yeah, I haven't seen that, actually.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great way to look at it. That's a very interesting line. That's a good line.
Yeah.
It really breaks it down. Yeah.
Gee.
You're good, man.
You need more water.
Not your fault. Yeah, I know. What the fuck?
But, you know, that's the thing. Like, people hate, and they're going to still keep listening because they want to hear, you know, just something else to hate on. But
yeah.
But, yeah, man. I don't know. So looking ahead, 2016. You know, what do we? You're gonna take the trip to New York then? You said in May, and
hitting New York in May. Hopefully, I'd love to win this comedy competition Thursday.
Yeah.
But Andrew Frank's in it. He's a killer. I'm kind of plugging a friend. He's one of the best comics in St. Louis, in my opinion.
I love Andrew, man.
Yeah, he's great.
He's been on the show.
Yeah, him and I are in the finals. So, I don't know. I'd like to think of us being as heavy hitters. I'm not comparing us. Andrew Topping's in it. I could name drop a lot of people. Chris Sear, John Maddy, Sean John. Oh, forgive me for anyone I've missed. But yeah, no, and then it's going to be rough. And comedy's subjective, so who knows what's going to happen. I got a story that I got that usually does well. I'm going to do that. Hopefully the 70-year-old white people that are going to be in the audience like it.
Yeah.
That's all I can hope for.
Sure.
And then, yeah, looking forward to New York. Tree's show. Chiquita's show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll be, you mentioned Tree's. Tree show is April 1st.
Yeah, Happy Tree and Friends at Melt,
yeah.
Cherokee Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then next week on the 7th, April 7th, mm-hmm. we'll be at the Lux Theater. And
yeah.
That's on Wash Ave, you said?
Yeah, Wash Ave. That's Chiquita.
Yeah.
Princess J. Yeah, that's... I'm really excited for that. There's theater in the title. Like, that makes me happy.
For sure.
I hope it's packed, and I hope it goes well.
Yeah, man. Thursday.
Now I'm checking out the fucking girl that just walked in. She's probably 19. God damn it.
What were you saying earlier? Bumble or what? What's that?
Oh, I have Bumble, which is, it's like Tinder, but the girl has to talk first.
Yeah.
So the girl has to message the guy first. But it's bullshit, because all they do is go, hey. So you still have to come back with the witty shit.
Right.
They don't try. They just say hi first. It's fucking stupid. Just like every other dating app.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
It's like no hookups. That's what this is for. Like, my profile is literally, I'm only on here for friends with benefits. And then you'll get girls like add you just to like scold you.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, what the fuck? Why?
I was listening to Brad Williams the other night.
And
he was saying something about an app called Thrinder. There's like all for threesomes and they're like and like
that's neat.
Yeah, and so I guess him and his girlfriend like they get on there and
do they have one for midgets?
Isn't he
a midget?
Yeah, he's okay. You know, that's the thing. Like, I guess he does all right for himself though. Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah,
you know, people are interested.
You see who Peter? Wait, what's his Dinklage?
Yeah, Dinklage
is banging on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's my. My next show is amazing. We can talk about.
Oh yeah, I never
get into that.
Never watched an episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Never. Buy the DVDs, man.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor.
I don't watch much TV, really. I got my DVR and I record some shows, but like, it's pretty full because I don't get to sit and watch much of it. I mean, I'm more into live entertainment. I go to a ton of music shows, and I go down to Funny Bone and Helium. And stuff and.
Helium's open mic is free.
Yeah.
It's free. Starts at 8.
What's Tuesdays. Tuesday. I was telling, I'm just talking to a guy the other night, over the weekend, I was telling him, like, he was asking about starting in comedy and stuff, like, he wanted to kind of give it a shot, and I was like, hey, man, try the mics. He's like, said somebody has, like, Monday through Thursday open. I was like, there's a mic every one of those nights, man. Like, you can go find
it's weeknights, man. Weeknights, that's where you get better, is weeknights.
Yeah.
And when someone asks you to be on a show on a Friday or Saturday, you go see what you got.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what do you have, so what would you offer that guy as advice to somebody that brand new, wants to start at it?
Brand new, be prepared to bomb a lot. Record all your sets, listen to your sets, write down the lines that get laughs, take those lines and try to write jokes about those lines. Three years I've come up with that system, and it's great for building bits. Like, I'm sure I'm not the first, but it's fun to come up with something on your own, even if it's already known by comedy vets. But like, and it seems simple, but like, just the way I do it, I feel is like an original creative way of keeping on top of it. So record yourself.
Do you do it all on your phone or something?
Record it on my phone. I just prop it up against like an empty glass aimed at the stage, and I go up there and talk about stuff and hope that there's laughs, and then I listen to the video and write down what works, and man, it's foolproof.
Yeah.
Seems obvious, but
yeah.
Not a lot of people record themselves around here.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I imagine like it definitely would help, you know, like, I mean, even listening to myself on this show, trying to go back and I kind of critique my own self, you know, but it's like, man, sometimes it's pretty painful to listen to yourself. And,
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
You ever think about getting on stage?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's crossed my mind, but I don't really have any desire.
Dabble in what you're...
Yeah. No. I do think, like, so I mentioned sitting in Denny's before with Libby.
Yeah.
And I talked to her quite a bit about, like, improv stuff and what she likes to do, and this characters and things, and it has crossed my mind to like kind of get into something like that, just to, you know, like I said, again have another, you know, tool, another,
yeah,
another, you know,
exactly,
work that muscle. So
yep,
I you know, be able to apply that to this show and everything else. So.
Yeah.
But I think you know, doing something on stage like that, I think would help me out. But I don't know. I like to think I have funny ideas every now and then. Yeah. Like
write them down.
But I don't know how. I don't know if it would go well. But yeah, I don't know. I think I would be better like a, as like a you know, sitcom writer or something like that. Something along those lines, behind the scenes or whatever, writing in things more than actually being on stage. So
you never know, man. Keep those ideas. Have a note. Have a in your phone. Go to your notes. Like every week, put the date of that Monday.
Right.
And then just put your ideas for that week there. Keep it organized and then go through it every once in a while. Try to expand on those ideas.
Sure.
It's another way of writing.
Yeah. I know when I talked to Adam Ray, he was saying something about, like, he emails himself all the time. Like, because, he's like, because you might lose a phone or a notebook or, you know, there's things happen.
Yeah.
You don't want to just, like, save all of it in your phone because... Yeah. If you ever lose your phone or anything else happens, like, but your email server is a third party thing, so like it's always going to be saved on your email.
That adds right to what my idea. That's great. That's a step up. He's right on point. I just saw him at Westport. It's funny.
Yeah, very funny guy.
Very funny.
He was on the show. I got to record with him that weekend, and it was awesome. You know, I'm a big fan of his, and just like a guy that's like. You know, really taking off right now. He's got a lot of the good things going, but it was pretty cool to get to hang with him for an hour.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, man. So, thanks so much for doing the show,
dude. Right on.
I appreciate you hanging out, it's getting to know you a little better, and let's go get us some omelets.
Fuck yeah! If she ever comes over here, I can't wait. But I guess maybe we'll wait. We'll flag her down.
Right. But yeah, man. So go catch Nathan. Thursday night at Hey Guys Comedy. What's that, at Fairview?
Hey Guys, Fairview Heights. It's not too bad, man, if you just get on the highway.
Right.
Just hit your cruise control on 70.
Yeah, it's a nice room over there. It's I went and saw Aaron Brooks over there not too long ago.
Yeah,
he's a funny guy.
Yep.
March 31st in the Hey Guys Finals, April 1st. With Happy Tree and Friends at Melt.
Yeah.
And April 7th at the Lux Theater on Wash Ave.
And if you're in Columbia, April 16th at the Ballroom Hotel.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you live in the New York area in May.
Yeah, vague open mic, struggling. I have a whole bunch of New York comics, arms crossed, staring at me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, that'd be exciting. So I wish you best of luck, and then
thanks, man.
Maybe you can come back on in the summer and tell me how it went. And
absolutely.
We'll see how it goes, man. Yeah. Thanks again, buddy.
No problem, man. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.